Have in your bulletin the Apostles' Creed, which is about someplace between 1600 and 1800 years old, and it was a short statement of faith that was put together by the church about that 1800 years ago or so. I would like for us to stand and say it together. Here we go. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, as you read that, the one line that I want to focus in on today is down in the first paragraph at the body. He came to judge the quick and the dead. The quick and the dead. I want to talk to you today about how we become a new person in Jesus Christ. This is an intellectual sermon in some ways because I've got that kind of mind, and I noticed things when I was started in ministry, and I wanted to point out a few of them to you. Is there a difference between a person who is spiritually alive and a person of this world? That's a good question. The fact of the matter is, there is a difference. The church, in various denominations, describes the new spiritual being that we become in different ways. One of the most popular ways is to say, you must be born again. Well, that terminology makes very little sense to non-Christians. I mean, if you talk to people out there in the world who are just in the world and they don't have anything, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But the terminology comes from the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, which I read during the assurance of pardon. Let's read it together. Here we go. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, Jesus is describing the work of the Spirit of God. A person touched by the Holy Spirit is brought to life. In other words, quickened. That's the old English term. The quick are people who are alive. And that life that he's talking about here is spiritual in nature. And Jesus is making a close comparison and analogy between natural childbirth, that is, born of water. A child is born as the water sack around that child breaks, and then the spiritual childbirth, born of the Spirit. He makes a point that God is the author of both the physical birth and spiritual birth. I wonder if I got anybody here pregnant today. Nobody wants to raise their hand, do you? Okay. Physical birth, however, precedes spiritual birth. It's before it. I want you to think about this. If you have a woman, and if I had one, I'd get her up here that's 5 to 7 months pregnant, and by then she's showing, and you can see that she is pregnant. The birth of the child, though, is neither the cause of its life, nor the beginning of its life. The child was brought to life, came into being months before. When the child is born, what we shall see is the coming forth of a life that is already in existence. There's already been some kind of divine quickening, a bringing to life, life coming into existence when you see a pregnant woman before the child is ever born into this world, which makes us pro-life, not pro-abortion. In the same way, the Holy Spirit quickens the soul of a person. And that is imparts spiritual life to that person, and that person is then born again into a spiritual understanding of life and the world. So when the Holy Spirit actually touches a human spirit or a human soul, he operates directly on that soul before spiritual birth. It's a spiritual conception. That means that that's first. There is a new creation, and secondly, there's a new creature, a spiritual person who is born. The Holy Spirit gives life, spiritual life to us. He does it from within us, and not by applying something from outside of us. It is a holy touch. When God's Holy Spirit touches you or me and gives us spiritual life, because we have no spiritual life before that moment of touch. You are dead spiritually without the touch of the Spirit. Quickening, the giving of life, is a direct operation of the work of the Spirit without any help from us or from the Word of God, whether it is preached, read, or taught. Spiritual life is a direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon a human spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit needs nothing to bring about spiritual life in a person. God did not use anything when he gave physical life to Adam. There were only two factors involved: the dirt of the earth and the creative power of God, which put life into that dirt. Adam had nothing to do with it. Divine power and dead dirt were brought together into direct contact, and at that point in time, physical life happened and came into being. The dirt was not a means of it or an instrument by which God created life. And the same is really true in terms of spiritual life. There are only two factors involved in bringing a person into spiritual life: a human soul that is without spiritual life, and the work of the Spirit that touches that soul. Read with me John 6:63. It's really apparent here, but we don't think about this much. Here we go. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Now, if you read that, it says it's the Spirit that gives us spiritual life. We can't do it on our own. It's the Spirit that causes a person to be brought to life spiritually. I have the prayer to the Holy Spirit also printed in here, which is the prayer that we use in the Great Banquet and the Awakenings. And I want us to pray that prayer at this point in time, and then I want to look at it, just a tad. Here we go. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. Notice that it says in here that send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Creation comes spiritually through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's nothing that you or I could ever do. The other way to look at this is not being born spiritually, but being raised from the dead spiritually. We preach the truth of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read it together. And you he made alive when you were dead through the trespasses and sins. Now, in other words, we are spiritually dead in our sins without the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We are spiritually dead without the power of the Holy Spirit touching us and bringing us into life. But once again, I know this. It's not through what I do up here, the preached word. It's not through the Bible or any other means that brings us to life. It is solely through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I got a couple of illustrations from... I just binged The Walking Dead for this past season because I don't like to do it week by week, so I just watched it. But, I mean, the principles are there. But I've got another one here I want to show you, and it's a cut from Weekend at Bernie's. That's not Bernie Sanders. That's Bernie's. And he is dead, and he's on the couch, and people don't recognize that he's dead.
Gotta move your workout till late tomorrow afternoon, B. Liza Smith's over for the weekend, and I had to give her your regular time. Thanks, Klaus. I got it.
See you, Buck.
Yeah. Ah. Feels good, eh, Bern? You're really loose. Never seen you this relaxed before. Keep it up, huh? I gotta go. Duty calls. Hey, babe.
Doesn't anyone realize he's dead?
Okay, Bernie, I'm going to shoot the wad. I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm going to go 40,000. No? You'll be begging me.
We have to call the police. Oh.
Hello, is this the police?
Yes,
Rick? I got an idea. Now, I know it's going to sound funny, but just hear me out.
No, Larry, why is the hair on the back of my neck starting to stand up?
Now, all I'm saying is, why don't we just pretend he didn't die? Just for a bit.
Hi, Athena.
How are you, darling? It's
$45,000. Plus free tennis lessons. That's it. Take it or leave it. Bernie, is this guy a tough negotiator or what, huh?
Oh, what a bash.
Oh, Bernie, you animal, you are insatiable.
You slay me, Bernie.
Bernie, I've got to talk.
Right. Oh, Bernie.
Here we go, Shooter, move it over a little bit, okay?
I understand why we have to move him, Rich.
Oh, don't ask me any questions, Lair, just move him.
Oh, here we go.
Ready? I can't believe I'm touching a dead body.
Here's your boss. Come on. Let's go. Whoa. Oh, what a kidder, huh?
Oh, Bernie,
your elders, darling. Come on, you have too much again, you big knucklehead.
Come on, let's go.
Come on. He's crazy. Here we go. Walk it off, big guy.
Dead people can't move, feel, hear, or see. They just lay there. But living people react, and they respond to things. And this party scene in Weekend at Bernie's is kind of a fun kind of way of looking back. You know, back in 1979, that was in the last century, I almost quit the ministry. And the reason was I didn't see any spiritual life or depth to the congregation that I was pastoring at the time. It looked good on paper. There was a lot of life, fellowship, young families, lots of kids, but we were without spiritual life in the congregation to speak of it, really. Now, there were individuals who were spiritually alive, but as a whole, we were without spiritual life. And I was encountering a tremendous dilemma, how to bring about spiritual life in people. I wasn't getting the job done on Sunday morning. I was preaching the word, but it wasn't birthing children of God, and it wasn't raising the dead of this world, and I couldn't get it done. Now, I know that it was truth that I preached, but it wasn't raising the dead. And even if you stick lively music into the worship services, it doesn't mean that they're actually alive. They can all react to upbeat music. In fact, Bernie does.
You and me are friends. Move up, devil.
music will animate the dead. One of the things that I figured out was just because you have lively music in a worship service does not mean that people are alive spiritually. It literally, they can be animated, but not alive spiritually. And what I discovered later is this truth. It's the Holy Spirit which actually gives spiritual life. It's the Holy Spirit which quickens our human spirits. I discovered that truth through the use of Crucio, then A Walk to Emmaus, and the great banquet that we do here. These instruments are the work of the Holy Spirit. You may have noticed, if you've been to them, that we always pray, "Come, Holy Spirit." Because I know that it is the Spirit of God that actually quickens us and allows spiritual life to be put into us. That's why we pray that prayer. The reason why my preaching wasn't getting the job done is because even though the word and truth of God is the most important means of God's grace in our lives, it was not life-giving in and of itself. We need to understand this truth, that it is the Holy Spirit which actually quickens us. Now, we know this and we think about it. The Word of God, whether I preach it or maybe coming straight out of the Bible, is a means to stimulate, to excite, or nourish an already existing principle of life, a spiritually alive soul. Now, think about the Word of God like it was food. Physical food is a means of physical growth, but it supposes that there is a life to digest it and to put it to work. If the body is dead, bread cannot be a means of life. It rots in a dead body, even if you can get it into that dead body. Intellectual truth is a means of intellectual growth, but it supposes that there is a mind that is alive already. If the mind is idiotic or without life, knowledge will not bring growth. Spiritual truth, the preached word, what I do up here on Sunday mornings or what the Bible is a means of spiritual growth. But if there's no spiritual life in a person, the Bible is useless. You give it to a person out there in the world who is not alive spiritually, and even if they read it, it does nothing. Preaching is worthless. It will not nourish the dead. So if the spirit of a person is without life, spiritually speaking, spiritual truth does not give growth. A spiritually dead person is unable to believe. I can preach all day, but it won't bring spiritual life. What is needed at this point is that which brings about spiritual life, and that's why the Holy Spirit's presence and action is needed directly in people. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, gives spiritual life and power to that which is dead. People like you and I, we're without God's Spirit, without Him touching us. The new spiritual life is not given because you or I perceive the truth, such as the truth is the words that I speak, or if you read the Bible, but you can perceive the truth in a sermon, a book, or Bible because the Spirit of God has already touched you somehow, and your spirit has come to life. But you bring in people here who have no life in terms of God, and what I do up here or what the Bible says will not do it. And I realized this at one point in my ministry. You and I, or anybody, We're quickened to new life by the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't need any help from us either. New life is not accomplished by preaching or reading the Bible, because it's the very life of the Holy Spirit which gives us life enough to see and hear God's word for us. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which came first, the Holy Spirit or the saving grace of God's word in Jesus? The answer is, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us the ability to make a response to the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We are dead in our sin without God's Spirit. And the key word there is dead. As the Apostles' Creed said, the quick and the dead. Sin does it. The state is death. Sin is dealt with as we're brought to life spiritually, and we receive Christ by faith, crucified for us. You know, the dilemma that I was encountering really back in my early years in ministry was that my efforts at giving people the word through preaching or teaching was not really bringing about spiritual life. When people started attending the Crucio, then I had the Walk to Emmaus and the Great Banquet, I had people come up to me afterwards and say how good my sermons were. Well, the truth was that spiritual life was what they had experienced, and now they could actually digest something. And they could come to spiritual growth. The spiritually living can hear and understand. The spiritually dead can't hear. They can't understand. And so in some ways, I'm coming to realize that the Word of God doesn't change a heart. It is God's Spirit that touches a heart. Then the plate of food can be digested. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh does no good. Jesus said it in John 6:63. He says, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is of no avail. People are quickened by the work of the Holy Spirit. In the salvation of any person, it works like this. The power of salvation proceeds through Father God to the redeeming work of Jesus, the Son of God, but it's carried on by the work of the Holy Spirit, giving life. When God's Spirit touches a person like you or me, there's something that is brought to life at that moment. Now, you may not be born again yet, so to speak, but like a woman has a child in her womb that is alive, it hasn't been born yet. You're already come to life. And when at some point in time, you are birthed into the spiritual realm and the physical realm, spiritually speaking. I know this. What I'm saying, this has to do with the sovereignty of God. We can't even seek after the Lord without the quickening of the Holy Spirit. The origin of life is not ours to give. We receive life. We can nourish life, but we cannot create spiritual life. So the quickening of the spiritually dead into newness of life is therefore an act of God's grace. It's not sought after. It's not deserved. The sinner is chosen by God at some point. The initial work by the Spirit is unperceived. If you have people in your family, now I know most of you, so I know that I'm not speaking to the totally spiritually dead people, but you know, at second service, there's always some visitors in there, and I know that there are spiritually dead people there. I know this. If you have people in your family or friends of yours, do you not pray that God would work in their lives? Because you can't seem to get it done with them for whatever reason. They just don't seem to be attuned to it or something like that. Maybe you can remember that time when you were like that as well. We pray for people because we know in our knower that we don't bring new life. We do not bring spiritual life to people. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit, touch this person, touch my sister, touch my friend, touch my child. We pray for it. And when the Spirit of God actually touches someone, then that person is brought to life spiritually. They may not be totally born yet into a spiritual realm of that. They may not know a whole lot even after they're born again, you might say, but they grow spiritually because there is spiritual life in them. But that spiritual life takes place because of the work of the Spirit. 2 weeks ago was Pentecost, which was the birth of the church, and we celebrate it and remember it and everything, but every time I see a person who comes alive spiritually by the work of the Holy Spirit, I know that the church is actually born again through that one person. Now, what we need to always understand is when we're dealing with people in the world who are, and you can tell, you know, if you put two dead people up here and you raise one of them from the dead to life, and that person sits up, they can tell that person over there is dead, but the dead person never knows. And so when we're out there in the world and we're dealing with this, we need to understand that it is the work of the Spirit. And that's why we pray for people. Lord, I want you to work in this person's life. I want you to bring them to a spiritual life. Come, Holy Spirit. Touch their spirit with your spirit. And that's how it works in this world, between the quick and the dead. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon people so that you would touch us and bring us to life and bring others to life that are spiritually dead right now. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.